Well, we're back together again. Beautiful morning. Thank you, Dave, for leading us to worship. And hope you had a good sleep last night and a nice warm breakfast this morning. And last night we had the opportunity to hear about, you know, things from Laura Messerly's testimony of what she does here and touching lives, to learning about Kidder Creek, to learning about our associates part that you are so much a part of, and Carrie and JR talking about that. And today we just have all the more to talk about what God has been doing, what He is doing presently, and our desire to follow Him into the future. Just one point of reference today, and that is checkout time is 1:30-ish, okay? So 1:30-ish today. Well, let's pray and thank this Lord that we just worshiped for this new day. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning, for this chance to be together again at this place that we love so much. Lord, this is your day, and we give it to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Greatest things that Mount Hermon has to offer is its setting, just planted in the middle of a beautiful redwood forest. Right away, that just puts people in a different place. People come into an experience with God in a way that changes their life forever. The fact that what we do makes a difference. You know, we've had lots of groups go back to their communities, in their neighborhoods, making a difference. And they trace it back to what happened in their lives here at Mount Hermon.
Okay, I don't want to sound like I'm gushing. I love Mount Hermon. And we feel very welcome coming up, just being in a different environment, different place, lends itself to interacting with other people. The kids like going on the tours and the zip line. You're not going to get bored at Mount Hermon. There's something to do.
Hermon just exceeds my expectations. We come back here time and again because you take care of us, because it allows us to step outside of the workplace. And I like to be able to tell my group that the gift I give to you is the gift of time away.
The staff is incredible. They're so friendly and helpful. Everything from the administrative staff at the front to the kitchen staff and those even just around with maintenance and technology. The second we have an issue or need something, they're there. Couldn't ask for a better group of people to work with.
The things that we do day to day come very naturally to us. Over 109 years of camp, conference, and retreat experience, we have a lot of resources to draw off of. The person coming for the very first time feels like they're part of that family instantly. You don't have to earn your way into feeling like you're a part of Mount Hermon. It happens the second you step foot on these grounds.
God has established this conference center for people to come. This place is one of the best places which I have ever been in my life.
Being here really helps to center me in Jesus. Being able to step back and just have time to listen to God is so important.
There's an opportunity here for people to explore, to experience, to step aside, to reinvigorate themselves, give themselves permission. Doesn't matter what time of year it is, this place has something to offer you.
The Mount Hermon staff makes us feel that they are as excited to have us here as we are to come and be here. Needs are anticipated, needs are met. The facilities are fantastic and they're always improving.
It's really conducive to letting them relax and enjoy, but also a professional environment where they can learn as well. You know that the people here have a heart for the Lord. You can tell in the materials that are provided. You can tell in the way that people act. And I think that makes people feel comfortable here and loved.
That you know that you are in a safe place, which is kind of like in the place of God. Being there and with your brothers and sisters in God, and being able to spend that time to worship and completely immerse yourself in that experience is a different thing, I think.
109 years of staying true to its main purpose, its main calling. Generations and generations of people coming back to Mount Hermon. That is a legacy and a depth to it that you just can't find at most places.
I was trying to think what group wouldn't want to come here. But I don't know a group that wouldn't want to come here. You're going to be well fed, you're going to be well housed, you're going to be well facilitated, whatever the main function of your activity is, the camp can accommodate it, you're going to find it here.
It was a very dream come true for me to be here.
I just know that lives change here, and it's partly because people have time to get away and to listen to God.
So in the end, the group leader is saying, that was an amazing weekend. Life transformation took place, and the part that we got to play in that, it's a privilege to be a part of that process.
These are our guest group ministries, and it's amazing what God is doing here through these church groups and support ministries. You know, just a few months ago, I found myself in a small room in the middle of India. I was with five pastors and their spouses, and they were facing a lot of pressure and challenges in a country that is in a movement now to push Christianity out and restore it to an all-Hindu nation. And so the message to these leaders was one of encouragement to keep doing what you're doing, loving people in your community, serving people in your community, and most importantly, loving each other. Because that love for each other is what's going to show people that you're followers of Jesus. And it's going to make Jesus real to those people. Very, very profound moment for me. And then to just come home and within days watch this video for the first time. And then to see that face and to hear that familiar, sweet Indian accent to say, God has established this conference center for people to come. This place is one of the best place which I have ever been in my whole life. It's a dream come true for me to be here. When I saw that and I heard that, that moved me deeply. And it was a powerful stoking of the fire within me, and I know the rest of the staff, and a great reminder that just like in that room back in India, that was a safe place. That was a refuge for them to come and to be encouraged. This place, Mount Hermon, is a safe place and a refuge for people to come. Hundreds of churches, tens of thousands of people every single year come here for that reason. And these churches that come, they're yours. They're just like mine, yours. They're from all over Northern California. They call this place home. And coming here is such a powerful part of their experience, especially our Bay Area churches, which last year, researchers said, was the most post-Christian, unchurched area in the United States of America. And so that makes gathering at Mount Hermon even that much more impactful and important. This safe place, this safe haven. A lot of our groups are support ministries. Some refer to them as parachurch ministries. They come alongside of the church. One of those being World Vision. Some of the folks were featured in the video there. They were just here in April last month. They send a few different groups throughout the year. The one that was just here in April happened to be their global leaders group. So these folks are coming. They're nationals from all around the world, and they're representing World Vision in their country. And so right in the middle of the conference, April 16th, word comes that there is a devastating earthquake in Ecuador. And the Ecuadorian World Vision leader is here at Mount Hermon.
So imagine being a national 4,000 miles away and hearing about that kind of news in your homeland, let alone being the one called to be the leader of an aid agency such as World Vision in Ecuador at a time. People were already hurting and suffering and had been for hours, and this person was here. They came here to Mount Hermon to connect with their peers and with God. And then now those people had come around that person and sent him back to Ecuador because now it's time to commit. And you think about that and you realize that we're part of something way bigger than we realize at any given moment here at Mount Hermon. Because that person has gone back, and I got an email, just like a lot of you did, about what World Vision is doing in Ecuador right now today. They've already established 5 safe places, a refuge for children. They think there's 150,000 plus children who are affected by this earthquake. And they've set up these places, safe places for them to go. And you can just see God at work in all of this. And so you and me, all of us together, are a part of now that kind of ministry, that safe place in Ecuador, through what happened here. Because you might think that that person's time was cut short at Mount Hermon. I think it was the perfect amount of time to come and to be equipped and encouraged and filled by the Holy Spirit to be called into leadership at a time such as this and to go back and commit in their country to love those people in a way that only God can through that person. That's what we're a part of here. And that's just one story. Since January 1st of this year, we've had 72 guest group conferences come through Mount Hermon already. So you can imagine there's stories in each of those. We have that many and more groups to come even just this year alone. So imagine God at work in all those people's lives. We may hear some of those stories, we may not, but we know it's unbelievable what God is doing. So if we continue to love each other and love those in the churches and in the communities around us, especially where it feels like God is being pushed out, we're going to make Jesus known. They will know we are his followers by our love for each other. They will know that he is real by our love for them. And those that come here to Mount Hermon will find that what they were seeking, that hope and that future, is found in Jesus Christ. And that, I thank you for supporting, and thank you for being a part of, because it's impacting the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. You know, I've had the privilege and honor to work with Bill since the day I arrived here. He's got actually here started here a couple years before I did. I'm sure you can tell he's much, much older than I am. And I'm just kidding. I'm older than Bill is. But I tell you what I've learned about Bill, and I have so much respect for him. We could not have a better person overseeing the team that facilitates and ministers and partners with these guest groups. He has such a heart for that. It's incredible. So I've watched him in these different positions walk, and the Lord's moved him and through Mount Hermon. And I'm telling you, Bill, I believe you are exactly where your passion is, where your wiring is, and God is just really multiplying that. Remember when we were the young bucks? Yeah, still feel like that, but those days are gone. So we apologize. Yesterday we weren't able to have a physical tour of the Redwood, the Samuelson Redwood Camp Pavilion. And weather prohibited that. So we're going to shoehorn a little something in here because we really felt really the most important thing for you all to really understand is the ministry aspect of what that building's going to be. Because you can go down and take a look at it in the years to come, the months to come, etc. So in order to do that, I'm going to invite a couple people up here and we'll... All right. I think that was a subtle message that was saying we're running a little behind on our program, GR. Let's get going. So I'm going to invite Chafer to come up. And Dick Dosker, are you in the house? I think I saw you back there. Dick, are you there? Dick, would you please come up, make your way up here? And Ron, I don't know whether Ron Taylor's here. Ron, are you here? No, yes, no. Okay, Ron's not here. Jim Crawford, are you here? I saw you. Jim, you guys just come up here. These guys are totally being called up on the spot, so have a little grace with them. I'm going to turn it over to Chafer, and just before I do, I want to mention this. One of the things I heard from the first day I got here was the need that we had for a ministry arena like this. And I understand it's been talked about and dreamed about and prayed about literally decades before I got here. And God's timing is always perfect, and we really believe this is the right time, especially as we look to marry two new ministry arenas, the Felton Meadow, Redwood Camp, etc. So to tell you guys more about all that, here's Chafer Cox.
I got this one. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. I think one of the things that I've enjoyed about just coming here and being a part of full-time is that I have the privilege and the honor to stand on the shoulders of men and women who have paved this ministry way before me. And has made my job a lot easier and certainly a lot more fruitful, I think. And so just want to honor a few people that have been there just a few years before I was there. If you could just tell us a little bit just what your tenure was there when you were at Redwood, and then I'll kind of talk about where we're at now and what and how this pavilion will kind of help launch us.
Okay, Jim Crawford, it's a long time ago. Maybe to kind of put it in perspective, about 10 years ago, we had the 10-year, the 100-year celebration of Mount Hermon. Okay, when I was at Redwood Camp in 55 and 56, we were celebrating the Golden Jubilee a few years ago. And I well remember it. When were you born?
60,
okay. How many of you folks in here were ever a student at Redwood Camp before 1950? Anybody? Oh, look at that. I've got to be careful if I tell any stories then. Okay.
You don't have time for all those stories, Jim.
Okay, just a couple. I've got to tell a couple. 1949, the year after I was married, had the privilege of being the head cook at Redwood Camp. That was in the days when Mount Hermon folk did a lot of that kind of thing. We didn't hire out. And then in 1955 and 56, when they had the great Golden Jubilee, I had the privilege of being a camp director there. And this little film strip that we just saw, I was delighted at seeing the redwood canopy because things were a little different down there at that time. We ate right out under the redwood trees. We didn't have a mess hall or a place to eat or even a place to meet, a building. We ate right out of the redwoods. We had picnic tables. Each cabin had a table. The girls had a gal counselor and the boys, fellas. But the reason I tell this, to me, I remember a unique thing. At each table was a couple of big tubs. One tub you washed the dishes in after lunch, and the other you rinsed them in. Half of those tables got cleaned great. Well, the other half always got through first, but it was different. Now, those were great, great years there. And even it most likely would rain once during the week. But what great times the Lord gave us. I just thank God for the opportunities I had to being down there and doing that at that time. Just a tremendous place. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it. And Dick, I believe you have, you also were there for a little while. Oh, so we wouldn't be over in the center here. You also kind of had been at the head there for a number of years. So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of, you know, your tenure there and share with us a little bit.
Okay, well, thank you very much. This is all a surprise. Yeah. What I remember, first of all, being down at Redwood Camp, and Jim Crawford, as a teacher, had the summer relatively free, and he would come and be the manager at Redwood Camp for many guest groups, because Redwood Camp at that time was almost primarily guest groups with some scattered in Mount Hermon-sponsored events. But I have this picture in my mind right now of Jim driving through camp in his 1936 Ford, I think it was, right? 1936 Ford, and he was transferring mattresses from one storage place out to the cabins, and the mattresses on the roof. Jim was driving with one hand, and one hand holding a mattress. Yes, you did. That picture's in my mind. And there are many things that we did in those early years kind of by ourselves. And my remembrance was going over to Watsonville and picking up, how many was it? A number of wooden platforms. You had four of these platforms put together for one tent. I think it was four. And we got tents from these farmer who used these platforms and tents for summer or seasonal workers. And in a pickup truck at Mount Hermon loaded these platforms into that truck, well loaded, and made the trip over here. And then handling those platforms and finding a way to do that all by yourself. It's kind of called leverage. And I think my back to this day remembers those experiences. But we would, for a while, we had these extra tents down below the leaders' cottages, the historic leaders' cottages at Redwood. And that expanded our capacity a great deal. And it was also kind of fun for the people who got to stay in the tents. I thought at first it might be a downer for those who didn't get to stay in the nice Redwood cabins. But that was some early days and some very excellent beginnings.
And how many years were you director there at Redwood Camp?
I've been trying to think. I think my first time down at Redwood Camp for any leadership role was in 1959. And I was there in one capacity or another until 19... What was it, Barbara? 1989. And by that time, I'd also taken on some other responsibilities, like I think they call it human resources now. It was personnel then. And had the joy and privilege of going around over visiting a number of campuses across the western United States, and recruiting and interviewing students for counseling and other roles at Mount Hermon. So it wasn't just Redwood Camp, it was for all the various things that we were doing at that time. So it's been a real joy to see the changes and the growth and the way we market and the advertising and the filming and the all these ways of getting the message across is just so exciting. I told somebody the other day, Jim, about a piece of literature which we wanted to put together for Redwood Camp for the next summer. And we went up to San Francisco to, who was our famous board member up in memory? Anyway, he was at a company that produced a lot of wonderful things, including he was a printing business. And, why can't I remember his name? Bob Stover. Who said that? Oh, historic. Bob Stover. And his printing people put together a piece that spoke about Redwood Camp in green ink. Everything had to be in green ink on white paper. And it was not a very exciting brochure compared with today, I'll tell you. Wow. But people got the message, got the information they needed, and came, and we had some marvelous years together. Started counselor-centered ministry, we call it. So it was a big change from a lot of summer pastors who came and did the whole thing to counselors who we enabled to train to help students discover a meaningful life in Christ. So those were good years and a lot of good information. I think I've said enough.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, both of you, for your ministry and your impact here at Mount Hermon. I think, and what you'll notice is some of the buildings and things may change over the years, but our mission and our passion of what we do in reaching youth has not changed. And this pavilion is one of those things that I think that it continues to earmark and to say, we're committed to the youth and to the children here and to make sure that they have a place where they can be, they can meet Christ, where they can grow in that relationship. I want to share just briefly two really quick stories about that kind of identify that this is still happening. We have the privilege over the years sometimes where we have a camper that comes for a number of years. So you get to develop a relationship with them. Well, one camper in particular, we had that her mom told one of our staff, our leadership staff, you know, she's coming and she says, you know, it's been a really, really difficult year. Could you just kind of check on her? So yeah, we'll check on her. And so she watched her throughout the week she was carrying a lot of burdens as she came in. But as the week went on, she began to kind of loosen up, and it's almost as if she began to become alive again. And the counselor came to our staff member and said, let me share something really awesome with you. Is that, you know, the camper shared with me, and we literally saw a transformation from her. She said, you know, she shared with me that this is why she believes in Redwood Camp is why she believes in Christ. This is why she comes here and she's renewed. And she was carrying, and her mom shared some of the burdens that she was just kind of carrying and the family was going through. But she came here and she was able to connect. And she was able to kind of say, yes, this is my touch point for the summer for me to get back on track and to know that God is with me and God is here and God is real. Really awesome thing. The other aspect, real quick, is that we have campers in the summer. Sometimes that are ADHD, attention deficit hyper disorder. Some of you might think all kids are that way, and that might be accurate to a degree. And what happens in the summer is oftentimes they do not come with that medication. They thought this is a great time to take a vacation from that. So we have that, and that's always exciting. It creates some challenges, and we work with our staff, and our staff member who will be back this summer, she said, you know, I really try to focus on the individual, to see in that kid something that no one else can see, but that God would give me eyes to see in that kid something special. And she wrote, and this is two summers ago, she wrote a council report. We write them every year, and we mail them to their parents afterwards. And we never know really what happens or what that impact will be. But then the next summer, she had that camper again, and she saw, wow, there's so much more maturity to her. She's grown a lot. Of course, she's still got some of her little quirks. But it was a discouraging week for this counselor. Sometimes we have discouraging weeks. It's just a hard mix with the campers, whatever. And she's walking up on Saturday to the Victory Circle, kind of discouraged, and she runs into that mom. And the mom stops her and says, I just need to tell you how much that council report you wrote last year has impacted us this year. And she started to share with her that her daughter had gone through bullying and some things at school. And it got so bad that she actually got pulled out of the regular class and started being homeschooled. And she said, you know, I met with those administrators and I met with those principals and I would take that council report to them and I would say, see, this person spent 1 week with my child and this is what they saw in them. Why can't you see that? And when we talk with our staff, we say, look, find in that camper, find in that student where you see Christ alive, something that may be just a seedling, but draw that out of them. Tell them who they are and who they are in Christ. And so it's really neat to see that this continues in something that started many years ago with these gentlemen, others who have led the way. And so I've had the privilege of being able to do that. And so this pavilion is another sign that we are going to make space for them, that we are going to be ready for them, that we are providing a spot for them, and we are ready to receive those kids. And so hopefully many generations on, we will be telling stories looking back, and I'll be up here maybe one day, kind of saying, well, we used to have no toilets in the cabins or whatever it might be. But and the other thing I want to just make aware to you is that this summer we have a reunion. If you've been on Redwood summer staff ever or been on Redwood staff, there's a reunion July 30th. We would love for you to be able to attend that. And then also we're dedicating the pavilion, I believe, at 4 o'clock on the July 30th. And you are welcome to come and see the building, participate in that. It'll be a really wonderful time and a launch into the future. Thank you.
Good morning.
that looks like fun, right? Man, it's amazing where we've come since green ink on white paper and just the gifts of our creative services team. Well, good morning. My name's Nate, and I get to share with you guys a little bit about this Sequoia Aerial Adventure Course that you just saw this amazing video for. If you had the chance to walk around a little bit yesterday, maybe on the Sequoia Trail, you might have seen this. But I wanted to give you just a brief update on kind of what's been happening over the last year and what we're excited about for the future with this thing. So our Sequoia Adventure Course was originally built in 2008 through the blessing of Renovation by Destruction, which happens a lot here at Mount Hermon. So a big tree fell on this existing challenge course that we had, which allowed us to rebuild a challenge course. And at that point, it was really just a spot for overnight guests and family camp guests to, you know, get out there and explore and enjoy this challenge course experience. And, of course, you are aware that we also launched the Canopy Tour in that year. And our Canopy Tour ends, and you walk off, and you kind of walk right by this Sequoia course. And ever since the Canopy Tour opened, you know, people will be walking by in their Canopy Tour gear and looking at this thing over there and be like, what is that? How do I do that? I want to come back and do that. And, you know, that's not a so subtle hint that basically says, hey, people want to come back. And so we started thinking about, you know, how do we get people to come back? How do we create opportunities for people to come back? And I love the theme this year of, you know, come, connect, commit, where the Canopy Tour and a lot of what we do in Adventure Ministries is getting people to come, getting that most unchurched population in America to come on our campus and for us to be able to connect with them and lead them towards a commitment. And so we started offering team building programs on the course in 2010 or so, where we're bringing out all sorts of different kinds of groups for team building experiences. But again, there were lots of individuals saying, like, I want to do that. How do I do that? So starting in 2014, we actually created into our reservation system and hired some more staff. We started offering Sequoia course experiences for individual folks to sign up and register for. And what we found is that a lot of people that had come for a Canopy Tour were coming back for a second experience doing this on the Sequoia course, which just allowed us to continue that experience with them and for our loving, caring staff to continue to get to speak into their lives, which was great. But it was a little small, and so we had some capacity issues. And then the other thing that's happening out there in the world is this thing called aerial adventure courses, which we happen to already have one. But they're starting to pop up all over the place, and it's an import from Europe. There's 400 of these things in France alone. And so kind of looking at best practices of what's going on in Europe and some of these emerging trends in adventure. And we also, at that same time, are looking at our Felton Meadow project, which you're going to hear about in a little bit, but it's been progressing a little slower than we had hoped. And so we were able to speak with one of our donors for that project and ask them, hey, can we take some of those funds that you've designated for Felton Meadow and can we reallocate that to making Sequoia Course happen? And they were like, yes, absolutely, let's do it. It's going to love on people. It's going to bring people into Mount Hermon. Let's make it happen. So we did construction over the winter, and we basically tripled the size of the course. So it's at three different levels now. We had a construction crew of 15 very robust individuals out here, and they put in 450 builder days building this thing and getting it all set and secured. So again, there's three levels now of increasing difficulty, and so you start in the lower level, which is easier, move to the middle level, and then end with the more challenging level. Lots of opportunities to explore, lots of opportunities to, in the challenge course world, do what we call choose your own challenge or have a challenge by choice experience where you can get a group together and not everyone has to do the same thing, which is really neat. And we've also added this thing called the quick jump, and it's really scary. So you can see on the left over here, there's a lot of slack in the system intentionally, and so you step off this platform, which is about 65 feet in the air, and you essentially free fall for about 25 feet, and your stomach literally comes out of your body, and then it goes back in, and it slows you back down. I've only done it once. It's really scary. I'm sure you're all going to love it. So
So that's just a little bit about the course, and what's really neat is that we have this great momentum, we have this amazing staff, and we have this amazing creative services and marketing team here at Mount Hermon that produces these videos and does our slideshows and does all the amazing print stuff that you see. But they also help us, you know, with marketing and getting the word out about these new programs. So working with Kevin on the creative services team and really the whole team, we've put together this marketing package that's gone all over the place. So this is just a smattering of ads that we've placed in local magazines, things that go into hotels, rack cards in the airport, San Francisco Chronicle, all these kinds of places. And so when we launched in March, we were essentially full. Just that first week was full. Marketing efforts continued, and then we were full for all of April. And so right now we're passionately looking for and hiring loving, caring Christian staff so that we can continue to connect with more and more people. One amazing story we had was just through our social media marketing. So that's our Facebook, Instagram, those kinds of things. So we posted a post on Facebook, and it was picked up by a local ad agency called Visit Santa Cruz that promotes tourism in Santa Cruz. And a whole bunch of people looked at it and started resharing it. And then it got picked up by Visit California, which is the ad agency for the state of California. And a whole bunch of people started looking at it. And then it got picked up by Brand USA, which is the marketing agency for the United States of America, that advertises stuff all over the planet. And so when it was all said and done, we had launched a brand new Mount Hermon Adventures social media brand, and within the first week, we had over 1.5 million views of that one post. And this is, yeah, absolutely. And to me, this is just one of those small ways where we see God at work in a very practical way where, hey, here's this tool. You know, we've devoted it to the Lord. We want to serve people and love people with it. And all of these other agencies, which are not faith-based agencies, they see that intent. They see that value. They pick it up, and it just explodes. So we're really busy, which is fantastic. And things are just going to continue moving on. I think one of the things that's important for you guys to know, too, is that, you know, this is not something new that we just started. This is very much on the shoulders of things that we've been doing for years and years and years. And namely, that's inviting people who don't know Jesus yet to come onto our grounds, to experience creation, to be impacted by our loving, caring staff, and to connect with the Creator, to connect with one another, to connect with our staff, and then to start moving into that area of commitment. And so we're just going to continue doing that. This story right here is just an example of that. And I just want to read this in case you can't see it, but this is a review that showed up on our TripAdvisor page not too long ago. And what it says is, "Family fun in the Redwoods, very accommodating. It's not every adventure company that will react positively when you ask for accommodation for a special needs child. This one is the exception. Called to ask if they could handle a teen with CP who, while higher functioning, has physical limitations. I received a call back from a manager within 2 hours, and he was enthusiastic about helping our family be able to take the canopy tour. They limited the number of people in our group, staffed with an extra guide, and assigned someone to tandem zipline with our son. At the same price as anyone else would pay, with a terrific attitude, amazing. The canopy tour was great fun for everyone, and we so appreciate everything Mount Hermon Adventures did to make it happen." Yeah, isn't that neat? And then the story that's not represented in there is a couple things. One is we get to do this all the time. We have people that are calling, that are hungry for adventure, that want to have that experience in nature, that want to come to Mount Hermon to do it, that have some sort of special need. And 9 times out of 10, we're able to accommodate them and get them out here, which is fantastic. The other thing that happens, you know, in this case in particular, is we have this smaller group with that child with special needs, with that family. And so the relational time that we're able to have with them, hanging out on a platform 150 feet in the air, nobody else gets that kind of time with that family. We do, which is amazing. And so in that particular case, you know, there were conversations that came up around the fact that we've tried to do this other places and no one else was willing to accommodate us. You know, what's the deal with this place? and then we're able to slide very gracefully into a conversation about, well, Mount Hermon is a Christian place, and we love God and we love people, so we want to do our best to get as many people out here as possible and to really care for you while you're here. And they're just like, whoa, like I wasn't expecting that, but neat. So those are just some examples of the kinds of ways that we get to impact people. And if you're here over the summer, or if you want to just sneak a peek at the course today, I'll be around this afternoon. Would love to show you a little bit more about it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nate. And one of the areas that you're probably well aware of that we are also focused on is our Felton Meadow project down the hill. As you're aware, a few years back, Mount Hermon purchased close to 15 acres right at the base of the hill here, and we have been working on developing that and getting a what we call Velocity Bike Park onto that piece of land. And every year we get, okay, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And the answer right now is we are in the middle of an environmental impact report. Translated, it's a year process, $138,000. And it's to look at all the environmental and traffic issues. We are in a place that is very highly concerned about the environment, and we are too. But with that comes some activists who really have a lot of influence. And so what we did is our team put together a time to get down to Felton itself and to be able to have a town hall meeting with the local residents. And we were hoping that about 100 people would come, and it was a rainy day, and 225 people showed up. And you can see some of the younger kids here. There's a whole pocket right down here on the floor as well that were there with their bike gear and mud all over them as Doug Klein, who's head of food services, had taken his bike team on their bike trip through the woods and then to the meeting. And one of the things that was so great is to have these kids there that when it came time for questions and answers, they were asking questions like crazy. When is it going to be open? How much is it going to cost? What is it going to be in it? And so those that were kind of in opposition didn't feel like they were really able to be real vocal because these kids were so excited about what was coming. And it was, I think, a picture for them to see that this community is going to love this. And one of the things I didn't realize until we moved here is how huge mountain biking is in this area. It's gigantic. And you can notice, just all the trails and everything around here. It's a big part of this culture here. So this is strategic of how to reach kids for Christ in this way. So we're going to do a mini presentation of what we did for that town hall meeting with three of our staff. Nate's going to come up in a little bit. And hear from him again. Dale Pollack, who's on our staff, who's our engineer extraordinaire and does water issues and all that, he'll be sharing as well. But the first person to share that shared at that meeting as well is Lisa Olson. And Lisa, if you have not heard, is leaving us. And she is on her way to Texas to become the CEO of a camp there called Carolina Creek Christian Camp, a camp that's 10 years old. It's an hour north of Houston. Cool. Summer spot, and if you see the pictures of this camp, it's a really amazing place for only 10 years in particular, and Lisa has had tremendous influence and impact here for the last 10 years, so she comes up to share. Would you say hello and thank you to Lisa for her time here?
Thank you. I had lunch with Nate the other day and was telling him about the camp in Texas. And when I toured it about a month ago, I said, why don't you guys have a bike park? You can have a pump track. And I was trying to cast a little vision. And they were like, it's too hot to ride bikes. So that night, I was dreaming of this big, like, airplane hangar with an indoor bike park and skates and everything, air-conditioned. So I'm going to throw it down. You know, we'll see who gets the bike park first. Okay. There's a little less regulation in Texas than in Santa Cruz County. We're really excited, and we're going to go fast. We had about twice as much time at our town meeting than we do today to share with you, so we're not going to include everything, but we're basically going to just repeat what we did there, and you'll hear a lot in our message of our reassurance to the community about who we are and what our intent is for this property. And as you will recall, when we purchased this property in 2012, when we were approached and asked if we would be willing to purchase this property and create something that would be a blessing to the community, something that would invite and welcome the community to use it. It's been a controversial property with many different proposed developments over the last 100 years, and each one has failed. And so the county came to us and said, can you come up with something that the community will love and will bless them? And so that was our intent from the very beginning, was how can we reach out to love and bless our community? We could have proposed more housing. We need staff housing like crazy, especially with the adventure area exploding. We just have hired, we have 100 staff in adventures. Where can we house them? We could have proposed parking. Parking's an issue. Some people wanted an RV park down there. There are many, many things we could have proposed. But instead, Roger asked us in particular to focus on coming up with something that would be a blessing to this local area and would extend our impact from the people who come to us. You know, Roger was saying, go out there and get them, go out into the community. And so Roger asked us to focus on three things, and Nate and I and Dale and a subcommittee of others began to dream about the property. The things Roger asked us to do are, one, focus on children, families, youth, but in particular look for intergenerational opportunities to bring families together to connect with each other, to connect with nature, and to connect with God and with our staff. The second thing was he wanted it to be recreational, something very adventurous, and he wanted to preserve the natural setting to bring people into nature, just as we see in the Love Never Fails girls and with the people who come out into the redwoods. Just being here, you feel it when you come here, right? Just being here, being in this beautiful natural setting automatically connects you with God. The third thing was he wanted to remain largely open and green. You'll remember when I first was talking about this at family camp, I said I wanted to be green, green, and green. Green, as you look at it, green and open space. Green in that we were going to be environmentally responsible in the buildings that we built there and how we took care of the environment. And then I was saying green because I wanted to generate a little money. We didn't say that in the town meeting. But as our committee worked, we added two more things. One was that we wanted it to be unique. We didn't want just another ball field or another soccer field or another basketball court for the community. We wanted it to be something unique that only Mount Hermon would do, and something that would be a magnet that would draw people in. And lastly, we wanted, since we're trying to bless the community, we didn't want to compete with whatever else is offered in the community. We didn't want to put any local businesses out of business. And so everything that we've created, we carefully researched in the community to find out that we weren't going to be head-to-head with anybody else in the community. We wanted to be a blessing and only bring in people that would patronize other businesses in the area and bless them in that way as well. And we believe our proposal does all of those things. Some of our opponents have characterized this as an amusement park, and we have solidly communicated it is not that. There are no motors, there's no ambient noise, you know, there's no music, there's no concrete anywhere. And especially, I think what there's a little fear in the community that it'll be like the boardwalk with just masses of people. But everything we're proposing on the property are programs. What Mount Hermon does best are programs. And so that allows us to control the amount of people who arrive and depart every half hour, you know, throughout the day, or what times they come and how many are there. And so it's a very controlled number of people on the property at any given point in time. Masses of people conflict with our goals to connect individually with the people who are there, to know them, and to help them to understand the love that Christ has for them. So it's not an amusement park. Okay, so what we're going to do now is I'm just going to give you quickly an orientation of the property and just what you'll see. So this is the big picture of the property, and you'll recognize, I'm going to show you the roads in a minute. Do we have the breakdown of the slides? I can't remember what slides. Okay, so let me just show you the roads. That road up at the top is Mount Hermon Road, which comes down, and it would come This is Mount Hermon Road, and it would come down here and then connect with Graham Hill Road, which then curves over to, this is like Felton Bible Church, down here off the bottom of the map. And then this is Conference Drive as you come up. So the property is framed by Mount Hermon Road, the shopping center, Conference Drive, and then East Iani Road over here, as you know, that triangle where the Felton Bible Church is, and then this is East Iani Road. Okay, and that's my house right there. So that beautiful picture you see that looks out over the mountains and the fog, that's the view I get to wake up to every morning. So, okay, so this gives you just a little orientation of where the property is. And now we'll look at the components on the thing that we'll talk about specifically. There's a community garden, and then can't remember if the other slides go through here yet. There's an entrance. The community garden is up in that corner, and then this entrance welcome center. The entrance to the property is right here off of Conference Drive, and there'll be a little circle drive there for drop-off, and then this is a welcome center building. Splash Park, we'll talk more about that. This area, this zone, is for our day camp, which will be available for people from the community to come for programs there, and just a big rec field. And this whole area will also be accessed by a pedestrian bridge over to Redwood Camp right there, so that Redwood campers can come and go and use the target sports, the rec area, and playgrounds and stuff over here. And then the parking lots, as you come in the entrance, the parking lots we kept snugged up close here to the existing parking lots for the shopping center. And then the next zone is the bike park. Everything you see in yellow, there's pump tracks, skills tracks. Nate will talk more about those and the flow trails for the bike park. And lastly, the aerial adventure course, which Nate will also give you a little bit more details about. So as we designed this property, we really were looking for intergenerational opportunities and for families to come, and maybe the teenagers would be on the bike park while the families are just enjoying the splash park or the aerial adventure course or some other aspect of the property. So I'm going to talk now about the specific parts that I've been representing in the community, and the first is the community garden. It's about 50 plots. Mount Hermon will retain 10 of them, and then there'll be a master gardener who controls that, and a local committee will govern the community garden. It'll generate produce for our dining rooms, but the other produce generated by leases of the lots will go to them and their families. We're really excited about the garden, not just to be a productive place, but also an aesthetic place where people can, we can get in there and work alongside people shoulder to shoulder, growing organic edibles and botanicals there, and begin to build relationships with our community members in that way. So that's something that people are very excited about in the park. There'll be some plots that are accessible for people with special needs or wheelchair users. And then the second part that I've been excited about to develop is our day camp programs. So that building that, right as you come to the front, there's a building to the right which would accommodate about 100 day campers at one time. And this is for elementary school age kids. It's intended to be continue our traditions of that we've done at Redwood Camp, where we have all kinds of recreation, sports, arts programs, music programs, before and after school programs for the local community, and of course, opportunities for people to explore faith. Everyone is welcome, just as at our current preschool, we have people with all faiths and with no faith, and yet our programming is clearly comes out of the core and the heart of who we are, and people have an opportunity to learn about Jesus and to ask questions in a safe place where they're going to be accepted and loved unconditionally, but have the opportunity to learn about our Christian heritage and faith. So that's my part. I'm going to turn it over now to Nate, who will talk a little bit more about the recreation and adventure activities.
Well, hello again. So now I get to talk about Velocity, which I get really excited about this, of course. I get excited about lots of things, but just as an avid cyclist and member of the cycling community here in Santa Cruz, what Lisa said is so true. The cycling community in Santa Cruz is robust, it's big, and it's hungry for Jesus. They might not know that they're hungry for Jesus, but they are absolutely dying for a relationship with Christ. And it's been so cool as we have been in the development process for, 3 years now already. We've started being able to talk about Velocity with people, and the connections that we're making with the local cycling community already is bearing tremendous fruit. For example, this morning, one of our coaches, our trained and certified coaches, is actually partnering with the Trek Dirt Series, which Trek Bikes is the largest manufacturer of bikes I think in the world. They're based out of Wisconsin, but anyway, they run a training series that goes all over the United States, and they specifically have reached out to us because of the quality of our coaches and our attitude and our behaviors and said, hey, do you have coaches that will come help us in Santa Cruz? So here we are. We're doing it. But we're here to talk about the facility. So the facility is really, and Velocity is really two things. It is a facility and it's a set of programs. So we'll talk just a little bit about the facility itself. But in the picture there was all these highlighted areas. There's a flatter area, and in that area is what goes what are called pump tracks. And so these are mounds and rollers and berms and corners. And the idea is it's a little bit like a skate park where you can roll into this facility and then you can pump your bike using this kind of motion. It's a little weird when you're not on a bike, but using this kind of motion, and you don't have to pedal, and so you can just pump through this track, and it's really fun. It's great for skill development, and it's especially great for the local kids who maybe just have a BMX bike or a single-speed kind of bike. Then we have a skills development area where we'll use for programming to teach all sorts of different kinds of mountain bike skills. Then there's actually an aerial trick bag called an acro bag, and I got to actually work with the designer of acro bag to basically create a brand new airbag just for biking. Right now it's the only one in North America. It makes me really sad because it's just rolled up sitting in the shed right now, but it's ready to go, and we've used it for some cool events. So that will help kids with their trick progression and their jumping progression. And then we have a whole series of what are called flow trails or gravity trails with a magic carpet upload tool. So basically a magic carpet is a big conveyor belt. It's about 40 inches wide, and you stand on it with your bike, and it conveys you up the hill. And then the gravity trails are just what they sound like, but you use gravity to roll down the hill. And on all these trails, there's all these different kinds of man-made features and natural features. And one of the things that we've worked really hard with our consultants and design teams to do, like Lisa said, is to build a sustainable facility. And that's one of the things that the mountain bike community in particular is excited about, is being able to demonstrate that mountain bikers are responsible. They can build stuff appropriately. They can minimize erosion. They can make it fun. They can make it safe. And that's been one of the great talking points just in the local community with the local mountain bike club is, you know, this will create a living room experience for the mountain bike community in Santa Cruz, a place where cyclists of all ages and generations can gather, can learn how to ride their bikes, can be connected with nature, ultimately can be connected through Christ through a caring, loving staff. And that's really where the program component comes in that we've already been working on and already been developing. So like Lisa said, the Velocity Bike Park is really a set of programs, and I feel like it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me in particular, where we get to start with this naked piece of land, this bare piece of land, and we get to think, what kinds of programs are going to have the most impact, and then we get to shape the project in that experience. So often, as a programmer, you are kind of stuck with an existing facility, and you have to figure out how to get programs to fit in it. This way, with this whole site, we've been able to totally turn that on its head. So that's a little bit about the Felton Meadow. That's my daughter. Isn't she cute? She loves riding bikes. She's one of our test market, you know, so that's great. So another big part of the project is the aerial adventure course. And I just got done telling you guys about the really cool Sequoia aerial adventure course, but we have another one planned for this facility. And you might be saying, is that really necessary? And I would respond with, yes, absolutely necessary. And for a couple reasons. One reason is that our existing course essentially is going to be running at capacity 18 months from now, Lord willing, and we can get the staff hired. And so the demand for this kind of experience just continues to outpace the capacity of our facilities. But also, like Lisa said, we really want the Felton Meadow experience in and of itself to be intergenerational and to appeal to lots of different kinds of people and to be a place where a family could come and maybe you're going to have a couple kids in a Velocity bike school lesson, and then you're going to have the opportunity to go do this aerial adventure course or go do one of the other activities that's happening. And then you can all come back together and reconnect and share about your experiences together. So the aerial adventure course is just like everything I talked about, Sequoia course. It's activities of different levels of difficulty, choose your own challenge. Of course, it won't be in the trees, so we have a a poll-based experience here. And one of the other things, kind of on the heels of the story that I shared about serving special needs, is we've been able to design this with a fully ADA accessible pathway that basically gets you to essentially the top of the structure with these deck structures so that we can work with special needs populations and get them on the course. As far as I know, this is the only special needs course in the entire state of California at this point. And so the populations that we're going to be able to serve with this are just going to be, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be fantastic. So then the other thing that we have planned for the property, again, to just create a fun experience and really draw that intergenerational audience, is a splash park. And so a splash park is just kind of what it sounds like. There's all these different kinds of water features. Sometimes they're triggered by motion, so you walk through and it squirts you or something, or a bucket pours. Sometimes they're manually triggered and things happen. But it's just a spot to cool off. I know it's hard to believe on a day like today, but it does get hot here, especially in the summer. And so it's just a place where families can enjoy just being outside. It's obviously going to be a great spot for maybe the toddler kind of age range, but I think there's going to be plenty of adults after doing their bike lesson, they're going to go run around in the splash park and just kind of enjoy themselves. So hopefully you can kind of see with what Lisa and I shared how it really all fits together in a very integrated whole, and it's really program driven and intentionally design driven to really connect with our local communities. And that's really, again, that's the heart of what we're doing. It's really interesting for me as I wander around the county doing marketing and talking with people, how many people have not had a Mount Hermon experience that have grown up in this county. And in particular, even people as I interact in the local school system, or my daughters are in school, how many people have grown up in San Lorenzo Valley, which is literally right down the street, that have never driven up Conference Drive and come here. So in a sense, this Felton Meadow gives us the opportunity to come off the mountain and really engage in Felton. And Felton is a broken and hurting community. You know, there's a lot of needs, there's a lot of pain, and we're going to have the opportunity with this project to really speak into that. Of course, you know, there's somebody that, you know, there are people that are against this project. And so we're going to bring Dale up, and he's going to share some just about what the locals' concerns have been and what our responses are to those.
Thanks, Nate. I wish I could get as excited about permits as they are excited about what's going to happen out there, but I am excited about the constructability of it and get it constructed and being able to build it so they can come, right? And so, but I want to talk to you. They've talked about the programs. They've talked about the activities that are going to be out there. So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about the support structures. The main support structures are going to be there, and then go into the process of where we're at with the permitting, with the approvals, and the agencies. So there are two main structures out there. There's going to be the Welcome Center. It's a little over 7,000 square feet, and that's going to be for the guest check-in. That's for the guests that are associated with the activities, the Velocity Bike Park, the Aerial Adventure Center, the Splash Park, those things. That's where they're going to come. They're going to check in. They're going to get connected and onto their activities. It's also going to house offices for the staff. They're going to be working in those programs. They're just going to have retail, a little bit of retail in there, some concessions, bathrooms, lounges, things like that. So that's going to be the main hub that will support those activities that Nate talked about. The other building is going to be that day camp building, the building that's going to support the programs that Lisa talked about, the educational programs. So that's going to be mainly classrooms and offices and storage and things like that. Again, just a little bit over 7,000 square feet to be able to do what we need to do there with the programs. And so very simple, but very functional to do what they want to do there. As far as design, we're going for a kind of a California coastal ranch-style design. We want the design to fit with the property. It needs to fit within the Felton town plan, because now we're going to be closer to Felton, and Felton has that older 100-year history kind of look, so we want to make it fit within that architecture. And so we're going for natural colors, natural textures. We like to use wood. We like to use stone, those kind of things that are timeless. And so we want it to fit, again, with the property. We don't want it to be overwhelming. And so using those textures, those colors, hooking up with a local architect, Mayfield architect, to be able to design those things. Willie was also the designer of the sports pavilion, and he's an associate, and I believe he's in the room today. So thank you, Willie. Also using intelligent design, being intentional about the design, using permeable paving, permeable areas around the buildings so we can get water back into the ground and not running off the ground. Also taking advantage of technology. It's a nice sunny spot down there, so we want to take advantage of using solar panels on the buildings, being intentional about the design. Low carbon footprint, getting more light into the building. So having lots of doors and windows to get the natural light inside so we won't have to have a lot of lights on. Being very intentional about that. So that's a little bit about the primary structures are going to be on the site. There's going to be some other kind of smaller structures on the site, but those are the two that are going to support those programs. So as Mike talked about, we did a community meeting down in Felton, and the reason for that was to connect with the community, but also get the right information out there. There is opposition to this project, and so there was a lot of misinformation out there. You know, things kind of floating around that weren't true, and so this was our opportunity to go down, meet with the people, and say, hey, this is what the project's really about. Here's the information. Here are the facts. And let them make up their mind and not be listening to this misinformation. Three concerns that they had, and these are valid concerns that we all have. Water, traffic, and view shed, right? Water, a big deal in California. We've been going through, you know, 4 or 5 years of drought now. So water is at the forefront of everybody's mind. You know, are we going to have enough? Is there going to be enough water? Well, it's a concern of the community. It's a concern of ours. And so, you know, the community is saying, well, you're going to have, you know, this, you got 15 acres that you're developing. You're going to have all this, you know, these people are coming, hundreds of people, and they're going to be there, and you're going to have all this landscape. You know, you're going to be sucking up all our water. You know, we're not going to have any more water left. And we're like, no, that's really not the truth. It's amazing how little water is going to be used on the site. And to put this in perspective, so when it's completely built out and it's 100% built and occupied and we're running at 100% capacity, the amount of water that will be used is equal to 7 to 10 single-family dwellings. So I'm going to let that soak in a minute. You think about that. So for the whole year of water use will be equal to the amount of water used by 7 to 10 single-family dwellings. So we were able to show them that, hey, there's no impact there. Very little water is going to be used for drinking and for irrigation. Now, another concern they had was traffic. And we're all concerned about traffic, right? Traffic impacts us every day. As soon as you leave your driveway, you're impacted by traffic, especially if you live in the Bay Area. And it's those peak hours that are really impacting the traffic. And so, again, the community is very concerned about traffic. I'm concerned about traffic. I have to drive in and around this area. So it's, well, you know, you're going to have all these people there, and they're going to be coming all day long, and our traffic is already impacted, and is it going to make it even worse? We're saying, well, let's think about that. We're going to give you the facts and let you make up your own mind. So, again, when the project is completely built and we're running at 100% capacity, and at those peak hour traffic times, which is the morning traffic, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and the p.m. traffic from, you know, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock when everybody's coming and going. So when we're completely built out, running at 100% capacity, and then during those peak hours, the traffic impact is less than 1% of what it is now. So for the volume capacities that are happening now, our project adds only less than 1%. So you say, well, what is that? you know, less than 1%. You know, how is that going to affect me? If I'm sitting in traffic waiting for the light to turn, what does that mean? So that means you will wait an additional 2 seconds in your car waiting for that light to change. So that means you can, I don't know, finish your text before the light turns green, all right? Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Please don't do that. But anyway, it's just that insignificant. So we were able to educate them and let them know that, hey, you know, this is not going to be as bad as you've been hearing. It's not as bad as you think, okay? The other concern they had was viewshed. You know, the property's been sitting with nothing on it, as far as anybody can remember. So nothing's been there. So it's always been open. It's always been green, just like it is right now. So obviously there's concern there. I mean, obviously when you develop, when you put things on the property, it's going to change. And we understand that. But there is good change and then there is bad change. And so we needed to talk to that. We needed to speak to that and say, okay, this is what is going to happen on the project when we develop. And we intentionally made sure. There is a scenic view corridor through there, so we intentionally made sure that everything that was going to be in that view corridor was very low level. All the buildings are single story, so we're keeping them down at a low level. The pump tracks are, as you saw on the screen, you know, they're only about this high, maybe a little higher, so nothing is going to be in that view corridor. There are some light poles. There's some lights associated with the parking lot and at the pump tracks. And they're a little taller, 15 feet, and then we're proposing 30 feet around the pump track. But actually, the trees in front of the property are taller than that. So as you're looking in that view corridor that is designated for the Felton Town Plan, the trees are in front of you, so you can't even see what's behind them. So we made sure that we were preserving and protecting that view corridor for the community. So we were able to share that with them and kind of educate them and get them to think for themselves and to show them that the impacts were going to be minimal as far as the development was concerned. So where are we with the development? What's going on? What's happening? This thing's been going on forever. You know, why can't we get this thing done? Well, as Mike said, we were in the EIR process, and that's the Environmental Impact Review. So the County of Santa Cruz required us to do an EIR based on the perceptions of impacts and things like that. And so we are close to being done with the draft EIR. That draft EIR process, as we were told, was going to take about 12 to 18 months. And so it started in October, so we're not in that 12-month. We're still in that 12-month process, so we're almost done with the draft EIR, hopefully in another couple of months. So after that, what happens is that document goes out into the public realm. So for 30 days, there's a 30-day public review. And for 30 days, the public gets to comment on our project. And that's from individuals to agencies. And so they'll look at that document, pick it apart, decide what they like, don't like about it, and they'll comment on it. There will be valid comments, and there will be invalid comments. And so the county, after that 30-day review is done, they will collect all those comments. They will look at them. If they're valid, we will have to address them. We'll have to tweak the plans. We'll have to make some changes to the plans, hopefully minor, to address those comments. The invalid comments, they just simply say, thank you for your comment, and then that gets put aside. So after that process is happening, then we get to go before the Planning Commission. And so once the EIR is finaled and we've addressed the comments, we've shown that we've had no significant impact to the project site, our project, then at that point, the County of Santa Cruz Planning Department actually is behind us. They are then behind the project. They've said, we've gone through the EIR, we've dealt with all the issues, now we can support the project. So they will actually ask the Planning Commission to approve the project based on the EIR findings. So that's why the EIR is very important. It's very tedious, and it's frustrating, and it's expensive, but once you have it, that's the document that allows you to go forward, and people just can't say, I don't like it, I don't like your project, I don't, you know. They have to prove, they have to have basis that goes against the EIR to be able to say those things and to make an impact. So once we have that document, they go before the Planning Commission. So then once the Planning Commission then approves the project, it will go before the Board of Supervisors. And that's another public hearing, but it's more focused. It's more that they look at, the Board of Supervisors will look at zoning issues. They will look at general things. They don't get to look at the whole project again. That's already been approved. So they'll look at zoning issues. We are asking for the property to be rezoned into Parks and Rec. Right now it's a single family dwelling, affordable housing. We want it to be used as Park and Rec, so then we have to ask for that rezoning. And that's consistent with Mount Hermon. That's what we are here, that's what our master plan is, so that has to be also rezoned into that. So once the supervisors have then approved it, we can go into what's called like the pre-construction phase, all right? That's when now we can really get, you know, excited about it, because we've got our approvals, you know, everything's on track. Now we can actually develop the construction documents, make little tweaks from the EIR process, and we can submit those for application for permit. And once we can do that, then we're off to the races. At that point, JR needs to start raising some money, because we got to get this thing built, right? So that's when we need your prayers. We need your prayers throughout this whole process, all right? This whole process needs your prayers, because working with these agencies is tough. So we need to pray for staff. We need to pray for agencies. We just need to pray for the whole process. Real quick, they'll probably go in three phases. We'll probably have phase one will be the pump track. That's going to be the first thing we're going to do, is we're going to do all the infrastructure, we're going to do all the utilities, and then we're going to build Velocity Bike Park. We're going to get that up and running. And then after that, phase two will mostly be the Welcome Center and the things associated with that. And then after that will be the day camp and everything associated with that. So it'll probably go in a three-phase construction progress. I know it's a lot of information, but I wanted you guys to know that so you can be praying strategically for this process. Again, thank you so much for your support, and thank you for your prayers.
We closed our presentation with this last thought. In some settings, we are hearing that this proposal is not in keeping with our tax-exempt purpose, which is known to be religious. And so we told our community, we are unapologetically a Christian ministry with camps, conference centers, and programs that exist to provide people with an opportunity to explore their relationship with God, to grow spiritually, and to come closer to Him. And often that includes traditional retreats and programs where we teach from the Bible, where we do corporate worship together as you would expect in a church setting. But our calling as Christians also includes being a blessing to our community by meeting needs in our community, by building authentic relationships and living our lives in such a way that we have a positive impact on the people we encounter, whether they share our faith or not. Our calling also includes stewarding the environment and celebrating natural creation in such a way that it reveals the glory of God. Our heart behind this project is to draw guests into this beautiful meadow surrounded by redwoods so that they can lovingly engage with their Creator and that we can lovingly engage them in ways that will enrich their lives and give them the opportunity to say yes to Him. And then we offered to meet with anybody, anytime, anywhere, to explain ourselves. So hopefully that will give you a little bit of the ideas, how you can be praying for us. And we're so excited to get started on the project. And thank you for listening.
Thanks, Liz. I've just got about 45 more minutes, and then we'll, they're going, help. Okay, we're going to get you out for a break. Thanks for being so patient. Just a couple quick things. First, before we go, would love for us to just pray together. So we're all collectively bringing this before the Lord. But a couple of quick announcements. One, we are not going to do the group photo today, okay? So don't worry about that. We have a plan for next year, but right now we're going to bag that because we want y'all to have some time. We're just a little bit behind our original time frame, so we want to do a 25-minute break. So here's my request of you all. We've got some great stuff when we get back, and we want to get right on it. When you walk out the door, would you take your phone and just set your timer for 20 minutes? When it goes off, start making your way back. So we'll be back in 25, okay? So you can make the most of it. A few people have asked about the hydrangeas for sale. Here's the dealio. I did a little adjustment this year, which may not have been the best plan, but here's the thing. We're keeping most of those for Mother's Day service tomorrow. trying to be good stewards of the money. And so I'm only going to be able to sell 23 of them. Four are gone. All right, so I've got 19 left to sell. I'm going to set them off to the side. Come see me during lunchtime. You can probably find Debbie or JR as well, but it's a little risky if we start. So they're going to be on a table over by Ivy Dining. So that's the one. Those are the ones you can take. All righty? Just me. JR wants nothing to do with any of the horticultural aspects of this operation, okay? All right, just me. $20. We're just trying to reclaim what we spent. That's all. Okay? We're not trying to make a profit on this, unlike potentially Felton Meadow. Okay. All righty. I think that's it. So, but make sure that you come back because we're going to kick this second half off with something you're not going to want to miss. Will you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, what an amazing time to hear the way that your hand has touched Mount Hermon, from guest groups to Redwood Camp to the Sequoia course and the outreach to the growth of Felton Meadows. It is evident that you are blessing this ministry in amazing ways. And Lord, we don't understand necessarily the mechanics and all the behind-the-scenes things that are happening regarding Felton Meadow. All we know is that people are going to encounter the truth and the love of Jesus Christ through the staff and through the beauty there. And we know that that is not Satan's happy spot, and he has put obstacles in our way, but you are so much greater than those obstacles. We do not fear them. We actually just embrace them. We will love them out of existence, and you will bless that place, we know. We want to extend a heart to those people who are in opposition, Lord. We want to reveal to them and to win them over through love, through integrity, and through truth. And we know that you are the leader and the creator of all of those things. So, Lord, as your people, we ask you for your blessing and your timing on this project. We ask for the resources needed, and then we ask you to just bless the socks off as people come and meet you in your beautiful place. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.